حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر لا إله إلا
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. الحمد لله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا ما كنا نهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله غافر الذنوب جميعها إلا الشرك به. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وعلى صحبه وعلى التابعين. We praise Almighty God, Allah, the Cherisher, the Merciful, and the Mercy Giver, the One who is worthy of worship and serving, and the only One that we prostrate and kneel down and do sujood to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pronounce that we worship only one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we pronounce that we believe in all the revelations and the messengers and the prophets of God, starting from the father of all prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam, going through all the prophets, including prophets Moses, prophet Jesus, and the last of all prophets, the seal of all prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibadallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abiduhu wa rasuluh. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what happened in Littleton, Colorado, where two young men, and maybe more that nobody knows, went into a sanctuary that is supposed to be reserved for knowledge and education, and went on a rampage, killing and shooting and terrorizing, and picking who to kill based on color, ethnic background, and animosity. It is not a small incident that should be left to pass by. And we pray that it is not setting a trend that will catch on in the United States. And we specifically Muslims should never let it go without taking notice and without taking action, so we can prevent it from happening to us, our own community. My father used to teach me a very old saying in the Athar. مَنْ عَلَّمَنِي حَرْفًا صِرْتُ لَهُ عَبْدًا. Anyone who teaches me how to read a letter, not a word, a letter of a word, I will continue to be his or her servant until I die. And contrast this with the way we look at teachers in America today. They are the lowest paid professionals in the United States, the most abused and the least qualified to lead the classroom, and the most controlled and managed by the government, and the most harassed by the laws in America. And I say this because we Muslims are trying to provide an alternative, and that is the Islamic school system in America. And I tell you, there is only one school system in the world that was proven successful in the new age or the new era, and that's the Catholic school system. And if you look at the way the system works, you will find that it copied what the Muslims did in the early days and in the days of Spain when they had close proximity with the Catholic Church. And if I ask any of you, be it Americans, Ethiopians, Lebanese, Egyptians, Indians, Bangladeshis, Pakistanis, anywhere you come from, and I tell you, if you want your kid to get the best education, where would you send him or her? They will tell you a good Catholic church. And we Muslims are trying to start a new system. We hope that will catch on and will provide the competition, which doesn't exist. A system that will attract not only Muslims, but also non-Muslims. A system that the parents will feel comfortable to entrust their children with. But the only time this is going to happen is when we have teachers who are as committed as the nuns in the Catholic school. Because a nun in the Catholic system lives on $5 a day. Be it a teacher, be it a servant in a sanctuary, or be it a servant in a mission. $5 a day. So that person who is volunteering her time or his time would be doing it as a duty towards Allah, not as just another job. That is what's going to make a difference. Why is Littleton that important? Because when I was growing up in America, raising a family, I was told that yes, premarital sex happens to them, but not to us. I've got news for you. Premarital sex happens also to us. They used to tell me narcotics and drugs happens to them, but not to us. I've got news for you. It happens to us too. And they used to tell me that gangs are not part of us. It is part of them. It doesn't happen to the Muslims. I've got bad news for you. There are gangs who are Muslims from Muslim countries. You go to the valley and you will know what I'm talking about. And they used to tell you that lesbians and gays happens to them, doesn't happen to us. I've got bad news for you also. There are gays and lesbians in the Muslim community, and they are not ashamed of themselves to say that they are. Why? Because we live in America, and we are part of the statistics. And those who study statistical theory say that if you go with the flow, with the average, you will suffer from the laws of the average. What is the law of the average? Whatever applies to the rest will apply to you. And what we have been working on over the last 31 years, as hard as we can, as patiently as we can, is to provide the atmosphere, the community structure, that will take care of your family and take care of your kids. Now, in many cases, families take advantage of it. But in some cases, families do not take advantage of it. And these are the very families that have been suffering the wrath of what's happening in the society. And my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, if there is any message I want to leave with you, please take care of your children. Please take care of your wife. Please take care of your husband. Please take care of your grandchildren, because if you don't, time will pass by and you will be regretting all the time that you missed taking care of your children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اعلموا, know this, take notice. أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب وله, that this life is for fun, for having enjoyment, for playing. وزينة وتفاخر بينكم, and for ornamental activities. You dress up in a nice way, you buy yourself a nice suit or a nice dress, you brag about what you own, the car you drive, the watch you have, the house you own, the degrees that you have accumulated. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ, and multiplicity in the children and in the money. That you want to have more children and more money. This is what people sit down and talk about. My child, I've got 3 children. One goes to this university and that university and that university. One is working like this and this and that. Come and see my house, how beautiful it is. Come and see my car. Come and see my watches. I have that much money accumulated. But Allah also tells us, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. Your money are your, and your children is none but a test, a fitna, a responsibility for you. وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ, and Allah has the real reward for those who heed that test and that responsibility. Why is it fitna? Because all of you, especially parents who understand what I'm talking about, are so happy to see their children grow up, become young men and young ladies, become responsible, but they forget the responsibility and forget the test. And that is the test of raising them, taking care of them, making them responsible followers, khulafa, to their parents. And I always ask parents this: are you better educated than your mother and father? And in 90% of the cases they say, yes, we are. So I tell them, are your children better educated than you are? And unfortunately, in America, the answer is, either they are educated like me, or less than me. And you know something? That is a sign of failure. Because we want our children to be better qualified than we are. Then we made a difference in this world. Then we made a contribution in this world. Then we have done a good investment. And the best investment is an investment in your children. So my dear brothers and sisters, having children is not a small task. It is a responsibility and it is a serious business. And it should be done as soon as possible. And I always say this, as soon as you are ready to get married, do so as soon as you can. يا معشر الشباب من بلغ منكم الباءة فليتزوج. Those who can afford getting married, do so, so you can protect yourself from lustful eyeing and doing the bad deeds. And when you get married and you can afford to, have children as soon as you can and grow with your children. Then they can have the experience of growing with you and you have the experience of growing with them. Some parents say, we don't have money, it's not enough. And I tell them, go and ask your parents how much money they had when they immigrated to this country. Or ask the brothers and sisters from the African American community who have opted to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, how much money they had 20 years ago compared to today. And the answer is, very little. Hurry up and have children. and please invest your time in your children. From our experience raising our kids, I want to share with you 10 points. And I touched base on them last time, but I will repeat them today. Number one, please stay with the community. Hang out with the community, so to speak. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a beautiful hadith. He says, مَنْ فَارَقَ الْجَمَاعَةَ شِبْرًا فَقَدَ خَلَعَ رِبْقَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ مِنْ عُنُقِهِ. Those who separate from the jama'ah that much, they take the identity of Islam away from them. How do you become an active member of the community? On Fridays, come to Jum'ah. If it is impossible for your children to come to Jum'ah, then let them develop a community at the school in a club, a Muslim club, to do Jum'ah at the school. But on Sunday, never take an appointment on Sunday. Sundays when you have young kids growing up are for the Islamic Center. People tell you, come and have dinner with us. I am sorry, I'm going to the Islamic Center. If you want to meet me in the Islamic Center. Take your children to the Islamic school on Sunday. And I'll tell you, your children will tell you, Mom, Dad, it's boring. They repeat everything. We don't understand anything. And you know something? You don't take them to the Islamic Center to memorize the Quran. You don't take them to the Islamic Center to let them utter what Islam is all about. We hope they will pick up some of these things, but who does the reinforcement? It is you at home. You take them to the Islamic Center so they can feel that they are part of a jama'ah. So they have a reference point that they grow with. So they can get used to seeing other Muslims. So when they grow up, they will marry from within. So they can experience the love and the affection and the relationship that develops amongst the Muslims. So never ever say, oh, I'm going to have school education for my kids at home. That's not Islam. Islam is not to close it out. Islam is to open up and go and share with the world, especially with the Muslim community. And the second important point is to teach your children their mother tongue. Now everyone here speaks English, but we need to teach our children the mother tongue. If you come from America, there is an Islamic mother tongue that was developed in the Muslim communities of America. If you come from Pakistan and India, teach your language. From Egypt and Arab countries, teach the Arab language. Teach the language of your tongue. Why? Because one day in the future, 25 years, we want our children to work in as many places as possible in the United States and outside the United States. We want them to be the experts in the State Department about the areas their parents came from. We want them to be the experts when inshallah they grow up in the bank they work in to know how to do investments in the areas they came from, education in the areas they came from, and so on and so forth. And remember this, always, always, teach your children the Holy Quran. There is a beautiful tradition which has been pioneered by the brothers and sisters in the Indo-Pakistani subcontinent. It is called the Amin tradition and the Bismillah tradition. And this is a mother's work. Amazing, and I hope that all the mothers here today will make that commitment. When the child reaches the age of 3, sometimes 2, sometimes 4, the mother would throw in a big party, valima, big dinner. And she would announce to the community that today my son or my daughter will start reading the Holy Quran, and they call that event Bismillah. And the son indeed or the daughter read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the Fatiha and small surahs. And with the commitment of the mother and the guidance of a teacher, after some time, after 1 year to 4 years, they come back to another dinner party, walima, and they call it Ameen, which means that the young man or the young lady started with Bismillah, and they finished the Quran with Ameen. And you know, I have had the honor of presiding on some of these things. And I would open the Quran. I would open the Quran and ask the child at the age of 6 to read the Quran and the meanings, and you will know how to deal. This is the best gift that you can give your child. quiet. Why is it important to train your child at a young age about these things? Because with language and the recitation of the Quran, you are feeding subliminally, without direct indoctrination, the real values of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The real values of what is halal and what's haram. The real values of what should be done and what should not be done. And believe me from experience, if you do it, you can throw your child anywhere you want and he will be the pioneer young men, women that will stand up and say no to anything that's haram and no to anything that is not allowed. The third point I want to share with you is to please be a model for your family. You cannot ask your children not to lie, and you yourself are lying. Let me give you the simplest example of lying. Telephone rings, child picks up the phone, is your dad home? The dad will say, tell him I'm not home. Happens every day. You just taught your kid, and they are very smart. Believe me, they are very smart. I go and give khutbas at New Horizon School, and at the end of the khutbah, we ask the children, what did you listen to? Scary, amazing. They repeat it word for word. And you will be really in deep trouble if you make a mistake. But the father tells his child, tell him I'm not here. No, if you don't want to talk on the phone, tell your child to say, I'm not available. I'm not available. I cannot speak now. There is no harm done, but be as careful as you can. If you teach your child never to backbite, don't sit down in front of your children and keep backbiting the rest of the Muslim community in front of your sons and daughters. We do that every day. Do you know why I'm asking you not to do this? Because if you keep complaining about the rest of the community in front of your children, guess what? When your daughter grows up, will she ever marry a Muslim? The answer is no. Sure, because dad, you know, all of these people are bad, I don't want to marry them. Or when your son will grow up, will he ever marry a Muslim? No, because all of these ladies are bad. And the same thing applies on your relationship with your wife and your relationship with your husband. Please take care of each other. Please be kind to your wife in front of your children. Please be kind to your husband in front of your children. Yes, a husband can wash the dishes. Yes, a husband can help his wife groom the floor. Yes, a wife can help her husband take off his shoes. This is not an egotistical trip. It is a partnership, a brother-sister relationship. Because if this is the kind of atmosphere you will stay at home, then they will grow up to say, there is nothing that I want to do except marrying a Muslim. There is nothing that I want to do except being a true believer in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and a real practicer of that La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The next point is to soak your children in ibadat. Now what do I mean by this? When the month of Ramadan comes, insist that your child starts at the age of 4 practicing a short siyam. I know the mothers will say, or the father will say, oh, he's too young, you are hurting his feelings, you know, he might be sick. Only for 1 hour, and then 2 hours, and then half a day, and then a few days, and so on and so forth. Don't leave an Islamic historic event without commemorating it, remembering it. When the Prophet is born, remind the children that this is the day we think the Prophet is born, but we don't celebrate it as a birthday like they do, or as a Christmas like they do. We remember it as an important day for a man who became the example to this world. When the Battle of Badr comes, even when the Battle of Ramadan 1973 comes, remind your children of it. You see, these are very important Islamic historical factors that they should know, so when we die, they will be remembered. And I always remind my brothers and sisters, on the Eid days, takbiratul Eid, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. You cannot read them in a book. You cannot read them, you cannot watch them on television. Who taught you takbiratul Eid? Your parents did. And please teach your children, so when we die, we'll leave behind, inshallah, a legacy. The next point is to please deal with your family as a unit. I remember when the kids were young and the house was messed up, we would tell every member of the family, you pick up 10 pieces of this mess. I would go as one unit picking up the 10 pieces. You don't sit down watching the television, watching the baseball game, and tell your wife, go and clean the house. Or tell your daughter, go and help your mom. And tell your son, go and play ball. This is not the way we are going to set the standard of a real family. This is not the way we are going to stand up making a difference in the community, inshallah. And then education. Let me tell you what I told my children. What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. You know, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was honored with the last message from God, the Kaaba had hundreds of idols tilting the Kaaba. The unbelievers were in control. They controlled everything. And the message to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not to destroy the idols. The message, the first message was not to fight the unbelievers. The first message was Iqra. Educate yourself. Read. If you really want to be an activist, activism is not shouting loud, is not demonstrating on the streets, is not writing articles. Activism means education. And if you want to change the world, educate the masses at the grassroots. And you can do it one person at a time, one household at a time, starting from your family. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted on education, we want every Muslim father and mother to insist on education. What do I mean by that? Schools are not babysitting establishments where you can take your kids and throw them in the school and you run to your job. No. Schools are places where you can shape the future of your child, not the future of getting a job. The future of knowing what is right and what's wrong. Schools are places where your child potential will really be glowed and polished to its best potential. Pick up the best school. And as a matter of fact, I'll share with you this. When we picked up a house, like many of you do, we first looked for the school. And around the school, we found the house. And when you take your kids to school, you got to know everything about that school. You have to meet the principal of the school. You have to meet the teachers of your children. You have to know the books they study. You have to know the homework they have. And you have to work with them to make sure that they do the homework every night, because having a child is not just a simple thing that passes by. It is a big responsibility. Because if you don't take it seriously, you will be suffering when they get to be to the age of 18. You have to know everything of what they do at school. I remember when my two daughters were at school and they started giving them sex education, we got the letter. You know, a class of 20, only 4 parents were in the class. Two of them were Muslims, one was from Latin America, and one was an American. And we asked, what about the rest of the parents? They don't have the time. They are making money, so they can lose it on their kids later on. And we tell them, you cannot take this money with you in your grave, but you will be remembered by your children. Please, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, split the time in the evenings with your kids. I remember when our kids were growing up, it was fun because what you are going through, you get to be re-educated again. I remember the math that I used to take in the third year of college. They give it nowadays in the second year freshman in high school. And you go and do homeworks and examples and solve problems. Then it becomes fun to work on the homework. It becomes an interesting experience. Then they come to be excelling and insist on them to be number one. Number one. Never accept anything less than number one. Number one in education, in classes. Number one in sports activities. Number one in leading the school. We want your children to be the presidents of the class, the treasurers of the class, the president of the yearbook program, the presidents of. We want them to be trained to be leaders, and this is this whole business of a school experience. Teach your children the value of time. Because sometimes we look at time as a waste. I know this, we are invited to dinners every once in a while, big dinners. And we sit down and people argue about politics. And people argue about this family and that family and backbite and they do haram. I want to propose to you, sit down and involve your children in a discussion. And I'm not kidding you, it used to be hearing your time in the cause of Allah, about the value of helping the poor and the needy, about the value of looking in the future of what this community is going to be all about. And before I leave you, please, don't spend too much time in front of television. Keep your kids busy, because a busy family is a happy family. Busy in prayers, but not all the time. Because the Prophet didn't pray all the time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Busy in playing with them ball, busy in going to museum, busy in reading books, busy in reading magazine, busy in getting the knowledge. Another point, and those of you who come from other countries, and those of you who come from other communities, Americans, every year, send your kids back home. Be it Mississippi, Alabama, or Damascus, Syria, or Cairo, Egypt, or Patkal, India. I don't care where from. And when you send them, let your family know that they are not to be only pampered. Yes, you can pamper them, hug them, kiss them, give them good dinners. But take them to the poor and the needy. Because when you take your children to the poor and the needy, and they know that there are so many needy people in this world, they will develop this soft feeling for the poor and needy. Give them gifts. Tell them, go out and buy gifts for these poor and needy. So you can have that relationship and never, ever, ever think that you have made it by being rich and affluent. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه نعم المولى ونعم النصير ادعوا الله يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ويكفر عنكم سيئاتكم اللهم اغفر وعفو عنا وصلنا وعفو الكافرين الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا نهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله غافر الذنوب جميعها إلا الشرك به والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وعلى صحبه وعلى التابعين. Always insist on an opinion. Don't force your opinion on your kids. Listen to them. لا يكن أحدكم إمعا. يقول إذا أحسن الناس أحسنت وإذا أساء أسأت. Don't be a yes person or teach your children to be yes persons. They just go with the flock, go with the flow. We want young men and women who can express their opinion and their opinions are respected. And then last but not the least, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, there is no substitute for time. Some think that if you buy your child a Nike for $120 or $150, I don't know how much, you'll be doing your child a very good deal. You buy him new designer jeans, new this and new that, that you are really taking care of your child. That is wrong. You are just teaching your child how to waste money and resources. You need your child to know that money is a valuable asset. It reflects the amount of hard work that you have done. And if you respect it, you respect that hard work. And if you respect it and deal it, then you are respecting the responsibility given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. And I pray that we will listen to what's being said and we'll follow the best of what's being said. And that I will be the first to follow, inshaAllah, Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma inni da'in faqulu ameen. Allahumma barik fi ahlina, wa fi dawina, wa fi awladina wa banatina. Almighty God, we pray that you will bless our families and our offsprings and our grandchildren. And that, ya Allah, you will make them the leaders of this community. Not for any other reason but because they believe in you and because they go according to your ways, ya Allah. Almighty God, we pray that you will accept our prayers and that you will accept those who died before us in paradise. And that, ya Allah, you will forgive us our sins and you will give those who are sick and not feeling well a speedy recovery, ya Allah. Almighty God, we pray that you will bless the brothers and sisters who are refugees now from Kosovo and that you will bring them back home safe and sound. And that you'll accept those who have died in paradise. And that, ya Allah, will give victory for those who are striving for your cause. And that you will take away oppression from the oppressed. Allahumma akhfir lil muslimina wal muslimat, wal mu'minina wal mu'minat, al ahya'i minhum wal amwat, innaka anta sami'un mujibud da'awat. Ibadallah, inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan, wa ita'i dhu qurba, wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi. يعدكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر وذكر الله أكبر.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله